All right, welcome to the Friday episode of the Nate Darling Show. We're going to start out a little bit different, and we said we wanted to wait and talk about the bombing in Boston until we had everybody here, and Christiana joins us now.
Hi.
So we can sort of have a discussion about what happened, kind of how we found out about it, and sort of our feelings about the whole thing. So why don't we start with you, Christiana? You're the only member of the group who's run a marathon.
That's true. Let's see. I found out I was driving to Target, and NPR said there have been two explosions in the Boston Marathon. That's all we know. We'll let you know more later. And that was it. And they went back to regular news. And I thought, okay, that was either
wow.
either something very minor happened or something really bad just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And even on the way back, like 45 minutes later, there wasn't anything more. The BBC news was just saying there had been an explosion in the Boston Marathon. That's all. So it was it wasn't until kind of later getting back to my computer and reading stuff that I saw what had happened. There was a piece on Jezebel actually today, which I know is your favorite media outlet normally,
mm-hmm.
but that was just about the, I guess, particular heinousness of I have a stress relief cat on my lap now, which is nice for the story.
It's
like
amazing.
A therapy cat.
It's amazing. As you're talking about that, Ace just comes over and curls up on your lap.
Oh, now Ace is gone. Thanks, Ace, though. Just the story was talking about the heinousness of targeting marathon spectators because it's such an integral part of completing that kind of course, having random support from people you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of runners write their name on their shirt so the crowds can know who to cheer for, which kind of sounds dorky, but normally is something that I hate. I don't like people telling me like, "You go, girl," when I'm trying to do exercise. I didn't respond well in gym class and stuff. But when you're in that environment and you're running a marathon, suddenly at mile 19, it's really nice that somebody's like, "Hey, you know, Becca, you can do it." And you're like, "Thank you. I love you." So it is shitty because these people, certainly they're not participating in the sport. They're only there to see their loved ones or see people they don't even know. You know, when I used to live in Midtown, I'd walk down and watch the marathoners for the California International Marathon here in town. So, it sucks. I don't think, you know, it seems weird to me that we don't know more at this point as of when we're recording the show, that we still don't know more about who did this or why. I don't think it was targeting marathoning specifically.
No.
It's targeting a place where there's a bunch of, there's guaranteed to be people. But it does kind of, you know, it strikes the core of this sport and the premier event of this sport, especially.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned not knowing anything. And as we record the shows normally on Monday, we're recording on Tuesday night this week. And I'm actually kind of encouraged that we know or they've released as little as they have,
mm-hmm.
because it harkens back to, among other things, the 96 Olympic bombing, where it was like, we have a suspect. It's Richard Jewell. He did this. He did this. He did this. And it turned out it wasn't him.
Right.
So I'm glad that, and you can blame the media all you want, but it's the police that released that information, and
right.
they need to be more, and in this case they are, but they need to be more cognizant about when they're putting information out, the information that they're putting out, because it will be a problem for not only the investigation, but everything else. And I understand
right.
at this point, as we're recording this, there is a person of interest. They have supposedly searched an apartment, but ultimately the amount of information that's come out has been very, very little.
I would figure that means either they don't know anything at all, which mm-hmm. sucks, or they know enough that releasing anything is going to jeopardize
and I think
being close to something.
And I think it's the second one. Turning now, Becca, when did you find out about it? How did you find out?
Actually, the exact same way that you did with the NPR. I was listening mm-hmm. to Talk of the Nation, and they had the sort of those cryptic, like, just sort of,
uh-oh,
we don't know anything.
A thing happened.
Yeah. And then I have not been clicking on too many stories on the internet. I've been kind of waiting for a more full picture to emerge and sort of holding my breath, and I think partly like not letting it in all the way, which maybe is wimpy of me, but one thing I did read today was an essay by Leslie Kinzel, who's a columnist that I like. She's the senior editor at exojane.com, and she lives in Boston and lives within blocks of the apartment they were searching, and so saw all the like news vans and FBI and everyone kind of out in her neighborhood all night, and was walking around today and a lot of places were closed, and she was just kind of talking about her city and how much she loves it and how she's trying very hard to just be out in public and not be scared, and was noticing everyone else out on the streets today. And, you know, that everyone seems to have this determination not to let this, you know, make them afraid and keep them in their homes. And that's such a brave thing. It's easy for us to say out in California, like, don't let the terrorists win. You know, you keep on doing what you do in Boston. But if you live on the ground right there, that's a whole different situation. So it was a beautiful essay. I don't know that I have too much more to say about it right now. I'm still kind of like holding my breath, and I'm just hoping that I'm really scared that some like hate crimey type violence might occur from people making judgments about who or what kind of population might be behind this situation. So I just hope that everybody has the patience to wait and find out the story.
Ted, how did you find out?
I was actually on my Facebook feed. I saw kind of, it's almost similar to what Christiane and Becker are saying. You know, someone just posted, you know, there are two explosions in Boston. I'm like, okay, that's weird. I don't know what to make of it. And then stories started cropping up, you know, more and more throughout the day. And I ain't listening to any radio. I'm kind of in the same area, ballpark as Becca, I guess, and not like clicking on a lot of links. You know, just I wanted to see what's going on. And I'm hopeful that people can remain calm and not start accusing anyone until, you know, we know what's really happened. Just, you know, look for the silver line, you know, the behavior, you know, what the people that were running into the fray to help others is, you know, really what's important, I think. And, you know, just looking out for each other and loving each other and caring for each other, you know, that's what we can do. That's the best thing to do right now, I think.
Yeah. I found out a little differently. I was traveling back. I woke up in San Luis Obispo on Monday morning at my friend's house, and I drove up to another friend's house in Salinas and met him for lunch. And we had finished having lunch. We were back at his apartment, and I got a text from my friend in San Luis Obispo. And he goes, "You've heard about Boston by now, right?" And I was like, I just texted
that's
back.
Never
I'm like,
a good text to get.
I'm like, "No, what?" And he goes, "Apparently some bombs." So I'm like, "Turn on CNN right now. Let's see what's going on." And it was just the initial thing. And of bombs had gone up. They, you know, they were just recapping what had just happened. And my reaction, my friend works in news promotion as well. And when you work in news and when you work with news, you get very calloused over to stuff. Things don't necessarily stick with you as immediately. And his reaction was very matter of fact. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't anything other than, oh, wow. My reaction is still, I've not developed that callous. My reaction to it was anger. And I will defend my right to be angry when someone attacks innocent people and our country and anything of that nature. It was, you know, it's just that visceral anger. Not I want to go out and start hanging people. Not I want to go invade a foreign country. Just this is crap, and I'm angry. And whoever did this needs to be found and needs to face justice for what happened. And going sort of to Facebook, and Facebook on Tuesday turned into, it really turned into sort of a wallowing in the horrific nature of what happened, for lack of a better term. And there was a mixture of people in my feed posting like the saddest stories of things that are happening, to people going, you know, being snarky about comparing it to us invading Iraq. And it's like, I get it about feeling sad, and you want to like know about that. I get that. I think it's a little too soon to start being a snarky dick about it.
Yes.
No matter what your feeling might be, we have a far different president and administration. It's a far different sort of way we've conducted ourselves both nationally and internationally. And to jump to that conclusion that suddenly we're going to invade a country because someone put a bomb in, or two bombs near the finish line of the Boston Marathon is presumptuous and ridiculous. And I think everybody just needs to feel what you have to feel, honestly. And a lot of people were complaining about the news coverage. All they show is the bad stuff. They don't show the good stuff. This is literally a couple of hours after it happened. But the way news works is you need to get the facts out to people. Here's what happened. And the reason that they keep repeating, here's what happened over and over again, is because people find out in different ways at different times. So you were listening to NPR, and you were listening to NPR, and Ted, you found out on Facebook, and I was traveling. So you have people joining in to whatever media outlet you're following, be it radio, be it television, at different times. So people have to come back in, and you have to go back to, here's what happened. The stories about people running into the crowd to get people who had been injured, with, you know, selflessly and without knowing, is there another bomb coming? Those stories came out within hours. Those stories were out that night. They were out Monday night. So the people who are complaining about news and how news gets information out, it's news. It's information. It's not meant for you to sit there when something like that happens and watch it for 5, 6, 8 hours at a time. You have to take a break from it. And don't take a break from it to go to Facebook and complain that people in the media are telling you what's going on, because that's what the media is there for, to inform the public. So stop it. Being ignorant isn't the solution to any problem. Just stop it. If it's too much for you, turn off the TV, turn off the radio, and go listen to some Justin Bieber. Whatever you have to do. But the bottom line is, there are people constantly coming in, and there are people who need to know what's going on. And that's why the news media, as a group, does what they do, and that's why they do it the way they do it. See, and go on.
See, I kind of, I don't feel the opposite to that. I agree with it. To a certain extent, I feel like, and you know, it was such a different media world in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
It was so different. I don't know if it's, you can really compare this to that, or what would Facebook have looked like on 9/11. But to me, it's almost, we've hyper accelerated already to the point now where we're focused on the people who went in and helped. And I know we did that on 9/11 because mm-hmm. there were so many first responders who died because they ran in
mm-hmm.
and that, thank God, didn't happen this time. But it's like we've glossed over what happened. And I don't know that it, you know, I think we need to hear the what happened. We need to hear about the carnage part. We mm-hmm. need to see it, because it's there, and it, so much of it was captured. And I had posted, I don't know if mine was one of the sad detail posts that you were referencing, but there was a set of pictures that were featured on the San Francisco Chronicle story that they just keep adding to every time they kind of update it. And there was a woman, there were two women pictured, and there was a first responder who was taking the pulse on one woman and seemingly talking to another laying beside her. And the woman whose pulse she was taking, from the way I looked at it, she was clearly dead.
Mm.
She looked dead. She was dead in the picture. And the caption didn't say it. And for some reason, it became really important to me in the past 24 hours to try to use the amount of media that was available to see what happened to this woman. Was mm-hmm. she dead? And there were other pictures from other angles, and I was matching shoes and positions and what it looked like had happened to this woman. And I think, from not at all an expert, you know, it's not confirmed, and I can't imagine they're going to republish that picture now, but I'm pretty sure that woman is dead. She's one of the,
mm-hmm.
you know, she's one of the victims. And I think it says, I think that story is important, and knowing those facts is important, and mm-hmm. not turning this into, I don't know, not forgetting that this happened, and just focusing on the Mr. Rogers, look for the people who are helping, because the outcomes of these events are so real, and because, you know, You commented that you were angry by it, and there was one of the articles I read that said from one of the, I think a journalist participant, someone who was, I think they're running and who then started covering the story because it happened. And somebody commented that they were, the feeling was, it was confusion and then anger. And then people on scene were angry that it happened. Mm-hmm. How dare somebody do this? And they were angry, which was surprising to me because it wasn't an emotion I would have expected from that scene. Lots of emotions, but maybe not anger. And I don't know. I don't want to jump right to the hug it out. We need to heal, but violence is real and it happens. And it seems like too many of the big stories have been violence related. And whatever our reaction in the world is, if this was an international event, or even if it wasn't an international event, you know, can beget some other kind of violence. And I don't know if I'm agreeing with you through a different avenue, but.
Yeah,
the what I'm not ready to move on to only the good stories of mm-hmm. what happened. It makes me feel better, but what happened, and I think people need to see it. It's there. We don't see so much of what happens in the world that's violent like this. We don't see the outcome.
No, I think we're basically on the same page. My comment about Facebook and the people who are posting a lot of the sad stories was, if you got caught up in that, you could really get caught up in that. Mm-hmm. And I think you do need, when something like this happens, you do need to sort of pull back a little bit and gain a little bit of perspective, because you can really just go into a spiral of anger, depression, and so on and so forth. My anger was with the people that were complaining about the media coverage, mm-hmm. because they're, like you were saying, these facts need to be out there. People need to know what's going on. And if you don't like, you turn it off. Go do something else. So basically, it appears at this point as though, I mean, the FBI stepped in immediately. They're investigating it. Hopefully we'll find out sooner than later, maybe before the show comes out, kind of what happened. They'll piece it together and we'll find out. But hopefully on the part of the investigators, it's not this jump to conclusions. We need to get all of these people. We need to do X, Y, and Z. I mean, justice needs to be served. Justice needs to run its course. And I think we need to let that happen. But at the same time, yeah, we do need to go through the stages of anger and grief and sadness and mourning and all of those things.
Well, I think there's another kind of anger. Or when you said that there was anger at the scene, I mean, I think it's impossible to ignore that this event is happening on the heels of so many other terrible things that have happened with Sandy Hook and with the shooting in the Dark Knight films and, you know, the Sikh temple shootings. Like, I mean, in the last year, you know, you can think of like several things that have happened, and it just seems like it's been speeding up. And I mean, I think that there's a collective, like, what the fuck, you know, like America is just like, what is happening to our society where this kind of stuff isn't happening once every 10 years or when, you know, but mm-hmm. it's just all, it feels like it's all the time. It feels mm-hmm. like every couple months there's something so horrible, you can't believe it. And I think that at some point, I mean, I don't want to say that we're getting desensitized, but it's like maybe we're moving faster from the, like, I can't believe that happened, this is so horrible stage, just straight into, like, I don't know, anger or analysis or something else. Are we maybe we're jumping it because there's a starting to emerge this bigger question of, like, what kind of society do we have now? What kind of society are we going to have in the future?
Yeah, I think it's a good point, but, and you sort of alluded to it, everything is coming at us faster. 9/11 happened and its speed, but Facebook wasn't what Facebook is.
Right.
There was no Twitter.
There are camera phones and videos, and I mean, there's so many. I was half expecting the FBI to announce like a Flickr pool this morning when they were giving their briefing, because there must be pictures. Like I was noticing with that, the picture of the woman, from so many angles, you could composite that all together in some matrix. Like, there just must be this living image out there of everything on that scene, from the number of people taking pictures, you know, all in that day, all in that area. And it's all there now. You don't need anything special to put it online. You need a smartphone and a data connection, and anybody can drive the narrative, and anybody can provide evidence, and it's all there, like, in front of you all the time.
Mm-hmm. And like I was saying, with Facebook as being such a sort of sad and dark place for the most part today, you just get so inundated with it. At a certain point, your own self-preservation instinct kicks mm-hmm. in, and then you do, much like working in a newsroom or working with news or being a first responder, stuff that a quote-unquote normal person would be horrified by, you just sort of move your way through it as a defense mechanism because it doesn't affect you the same way. And because Facebook has gotten so intense with that, and there's so many things, and everybody is putting something on there, it's not one person, it's 50 or 60 of your friends are putting that on there, and it starts to become overwhelming at a point. So I think we've pretty much covered it. It sucks. It's crap. Sadly, something like this probably will happen again. It happens overseas, and people do their best to prevent it from happening. But ultimately, when you have one person working alone, there's only so much you can do. One of the things I did hear, and this is going to be kind of the last thing before we move on, is they were trying to look for cameras looking at the area, like observation cameras, and the point being that there are a lot of them in major cities, but nothing like what they have in the UK. Like in London, there's virtually no place where there isn't a camera watching you in terms of what you're doing in public space. And that's one of the reasons why they do that, is because of things like that. So you've got people who are like, you can't have that, it violates my privacy, but you're out on the public street, people. There should be no expectation of privacy for you to go ahead and do whatever. And so if someone catches you picking your nose on the camera, nobody cares. It's really to, you know, pinpoint who's doing what when bad things go down. So unless somebody has something else, I think it's time to move on to lighter subjects and start the show.
I feel like we have to do that Al Roker segue. And now the weather. I'm slowly going to bring my voice up. And we'll talk about something else.
Almost live from one of the most diverse cities in America, it's the Nate Darling Show. Featuring Ted Sampson and Christiana D.
And Becca.
And now, with one coffee table and three microphones, here's Nate.
And yeah. Becca.
Yeah. Gonna get new opens cut this week. It'll happen.
Yay.
It's gotta happen. Coming up on the show, at least the rest of the show, Florida Corner, where the ladies come first. Mm-hmm.
Wink.
Wink.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Something about McDonald's that I'm not loving, and
that was my gagging sound about McDonald's.
Ew, yeah, it's bad stuff.
Yep,
bad stuff. Mm-hmm. Unless McDonald's wants to advertise on the podcast, in which case we'll talk.
Oh,
ha,
boo.
Hey, but as of now, if you want to support the podcast, here's what you do: to go to NateDarlingShow.com, click the Shop Amazon link. If you're shopping Amazon anyway, it helps the show. It doesn't cost you anything extra. And it kind of sticks it to the man because it's that much less profit for those buggers at Amazon. See?
Ah, I see what you did there.
See, everybody wins except the man.
I ordered Rob's Christmas present on Amazon, or Christmas birthday present on Amazon. Sorry, last week.
Excellent.
It was a big fat present too, so you're going to get like 4 cents off of that.
Oh, oh.
I think I might know what it is. So
you know, he's open it. You can talk about it.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Is it a tablet?
It is.
Okay.
Oh, he got a new toy, fancy toy.
So
through the Nate Darling Show link to Amazon.
Yeah, and it cost you the exact same amount if you hadn't done that.
It was fabulous. It just showed up just like magic,
and it helped the show. So we're going to be getting some new. We actually had 2 good months in a row. So thank you to everybody who's done that. And we're going to start getting some new equipment in here.
Woo!
Yay.
We got featured on something called the Well Done blog.
Ooh.
I know you're all excited.
Well done.
I am excited.
Well Done, D-U-N-N-E. We got featured because I got a new job.
Which, whatever it takes.
Which I have not talked about on the show yet, but since it's Friday, and even if you download this early, this will be if you're listening to this on Friday the 19th, this is my last day at KCRA 3 in Sacramento.
Aww.
Wait.
After six years at KCRA and 14 and a half years in the warm embrace of the Hearst Corporation, I've found something new to do. I'll be working over at Fox 40 in Sacramento. What matters to you? we'll be asking that a lot. Big change. So when the write-up came about that, I was completely unaware of this. I got a Facebook message from this lady, Kate Bacon, who said,
bacon.
I understand. Mm-hmm. I said, bacon. She said, I understand that you're changing jobs. And I said, yes, I am. She goes, is it okay if I write about it? And I'm like, yeah, sure, go ahead. And so a couple days later, I see this write-up, and it was on the 15th. And not only did it talk about me changing jobs, it talked about the podcast. Ooh. The fact that we do the podcast here, and basically she found my bio on the website. So congratulations, Kate. Google works. So yeah, we got a little bit of a write-up. So if you're a new listener to the show, we don't normally do super heavy stuff, but it was required there. If you listen to Wednesday's show, that's more what we do all the way through. It's fun. Fun show. So yeah, little publicity for the show. New gig for me, so I'm excited about it. From now on, down with NBC, up with Fox. Excitement. What was that?
You said up with Fox.
Different
and
Fox.
I got worried.
It's a local affiliate. I know. It's not Fox, I know.
Not Fox News.
It's just my instinct.
Fox Network. Stop like Family Guy.
Okay.
Like The New Girl.
Yeah.
Yay.
The Mindy Project.
Well,
and
about
Raising
the
Hope. Does anybody? That show's great.
Yeah, the Mindy.
Anybody?
I can tell you the ratings for the Mindy Project in Sacramento, not so great.
I don't. Well, I gave up on it.
The Mindy Project is also not so great. I want it to be great, so I keep watching it. But the New Girl is sincerely great.
Oh, I love New Girl.
Yeah, New Girl.
I legitimately love New Girl.
That kiss, that was hot.
Oh,
when
yeah.
When he finally
yeah.
grabbed her kiss, that was like,
yeah,
uh-huh. damn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I gave that a full on damn.
I think I watched that show with you once, right?
Just once.
Yeah, it was amazing. We don't get TV.
We can watch it again if you want.
We started watching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That's where I'm at. It was a good show. I don't know why I brought that up. Carry on, everyone.
This is the part of the show where we list everything we've watched on Hulu for the last 2 weeks. Ready? On Monday night. No, I'm just kidding.
I won't, because I promised last show, I will finish up my recap of my trip to Southern California.
Oh, yeah.
SoCal.
So after San Diego was up, we stayed in Irvine at the lovely Wyndham Hotel in Irvine with a view of the 405 freeway.
Ooh, it's the 405 because you're in Southern California.
I stayed in a wide variety of hotels, three of them, all of whom, actually one of them did not have a view of a freeway, but it did have a view of LAX from across the street. So
that's fun. Did you get to watch planes? Because that's awesome. There's a rooftop parking lot, the Ralph's there, like right by the airport. You can watch the planes, and it's amazing. I hate to fly them, but I love to watch them.
Let me tell you, I actually posted one on Facebook because I got up in the morning and looked out the window, and out the window of the hotel, you could see planes coming into land at LAX. They went behind the building next door. So I had the airport, and then in San Diego, we had a view of the 8 freeway. And a view of the 405 in Irvine. So
those are good ones, to be fair. Those are great freeways.
So we stayed in Irvine, went to Angel Stadium Friday and Saturday night. Friday night, not such a great night, as the Angels sucked.
Was that the Brawl game?
No, the Brawl was in San Diego.
Oh, that's
you got
right.
to see that, too.
We talked about that the last show.
Oh, dang.
You were doing important things. So Friday night.
I was nobbing a hub. That sounds
wrong.
Yeah, horrible.
Moving on. So Friday night, terrible night. The Angels were awful. They did not get a base runner past first base the entire night against the quote-unquote lowly Houston Astros. I say quote-unquote lowly because the Angels are in last place looking up at Houston.
Nobody should ever look up to Houston.
Was that the cat?
No, there wasn't. It was my headphone cable that did that.
Okay.
Now we've figured out the problem. Apparently, my headphone cable can trigger things on the tablet. Oh. So that sucked. But so we left after the 8th inning in grave disappointment. But we did what apparently everybody does after Angels games: went to the Krispy Kreme. That is the legit thing to do right after a game at Angel Stadium. You hit the Krispy Kreme, the drive-through line around the whole thing.
You literally partied like it's 1999.
The hot light was on. It was great.
The hot light was on. The hot light is on. Everyone get in the car. So,
do they ever turn the hot light off?
They do.
Oh.
It's only on when they're making donuts. So we get the
donuts. Now you know when not to go.
We get the donuts and we go back to the room and we're just like mowing on the donuts. And you know how you get the original ones and the glaze comes off when you eat them? Well, we were both sort of wandering around the room, devil may care, and eating donuts.
Just two young men and a Krispy Kreme and nothing to do.
Yep. Just eating donuts and watching TV, you know, hearing about Kobe's devastating injury, continuing coverage of Kobe Bryant's exploding Achilles tendon. And I happened to look down after several donuts, and because we didn't have plates or anything and weren't paying attention, all of the flaky glaze from the Krispy Kreme donuts had fallen on the floor. It was like this weird glaze on the carpet.
Oh
no.
Yeah, it was fine. I gotta rewind because this is the most awkward moment of the entire trip. So we're taking stuff out of the back of the car and I just grab everything and we get in the elevator and I realize in my hand I have the emergency roadside kit from my car in my hand. And me and my friend were in the elevator and one of the hotel employees is in there and I'm like, I realize it's in my hand and I look at my buddy, I go, why in the hell did I bring the roadside kit? And he makes a joke back and forth and the hotel employee goes, what are you guys into?
Nah.
And I was so
flares.
And then the doors open and he left. And I'm like,
triangles.
And is the doors closed back up?
Patch kits.
I'm into telling people to fuck off. Yeah. But he was gone and the doors were closed. Dick. So anyway, fast forward to Saturday. Saturday was a good day. We went to see the movie 42. At the it's now the Outlets at Orange. The block of Orange is no more. It's the Outlets at Orange.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. New company came in, bought it. They cleaned it up, painted it, and not really that outlet-y, though. It's,
no, I'm surprised. That seems like a kind of a slummy title, but I guess it's Orange, not like
yeah.
Newport. So.
Well, yeah. Good God. So we
do that again. That was great.
Good God.
Nice.
How dare you say something about Newport?
Is that the Ferris Bueller faking his? No, that's the
Mr. Howell, isn't it?
It's
Mr.
everything.
Mr. Howell, like. But it also sounds like Cameron when he's faking the dad. And,
a little
yeah,
bit, yeah.
Right?
Sloane's dad.
Thank you. That's it. You yeah. got there.
Rooney, I want to see Sloane Peterson out front.
Yeah.
My daughter.
That's amazing.
So,
I know. Please only do the do podcast in that voice.
My neck will hurt.
Or
if I do
main voice. Could you say do that in a main voice with a main inflection?
Ooh, I'll have to work on that.
Okay. Many layers.
So the movie 42, the Jackie Robinson movie, really good movie. The actress who plays Mrs. Robinson, Rachel Robinson.
And here's to you.
She is one of the most beautiful women I have ever seen on a movie screen. She just jumps off, her beauty jumps off the screen. And I've seen pictures online afterward, and her name's not one that you recognize, but on the big screen, she just radiates a beauty I haven't seen in a long time. It was a good movie. Of course, there's the disturbing parts where there are the cat calls and everything that went along with breaking the color barrier and the time frame. And I'm not going to ruin it for anybody. So here's what I want you to do. After you've seen the movie, and you'll know what I'm talking about when you see it, there's a man named Ben Chapman in the movie, and he was the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies. And he does a lot of catcalling of Jackie Robinson. And I'm not going to do it now. I'm not going to ruin it because I don't want to spoil any of the surprise. But I want you, when you see the film, to think about what the casting room was like when he went in to read for it. And that will sort of make sense once you see the movie. I'll explain to you guys after.
Last time somebody gave me a warning like that was about he had just seen a sneak preview of this movie called There's Something About Mary. And he's like, hair gel. Just remember, hair gel.
No, it's not quite like that.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with semen.
spoiler to know.
Spoiler alert. And then Saturday night we went. It was Mike Trout bobblehead night at Angel Stadium, which was a big deal. The place was sold out, despite the fact there were empty seats, because people had been disgusted by the night before. But the Angels ended up coming back. Josh Hamilton hit his first home run as an Angel. Mike Trout scored the winning run on a walk-off hit by Albert Pujols. So, big names all around.
Pujols.
Everybody was excited. Oh, yay!
Ooh.
I high-fived the dude next to me. Like, it was one of those things where you high-five strangers. It was that exciting. And he high-fived me so hard that my hand hurt for like 10 minutes. He was like young and full of exuberance. You know, he was like probably 23 and like, aah! If he'd hit, I mean, he was there with his girlfriend. If he would have, you know, high-fived her that hard, it would have broken her hand. That's all I'm saying. It was like a big high five. So that was the excitement of the trip and sort of cover the back end of it. But that was it.
Where's the bobblehead?
The bobblehead is in a box on my shelf over there. I will be bringing it to display at my new office.
Ah.
So there you go.
Orifice. Thanks, Ted. It's in rare form tonight, I can tell.
Like silent for 10 minutes and then just.
But.
Poo hole. Orifice.
He's turned into Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, yeah.
Dear.
So, this is a very interesting story that comes to us from Tennessee. It's on the Huffington Post. So,
not the only 10 I see. Mm. Wait, that's not.
First line of the story, objects in mirror are larger than they appear. That line is unnecessary, but hearings have begun for the former vice mayor of a Tennessee town who was accused of masturbating out his open car window while speeding down the interstate. That's right, William Blakely, 30, which I think is quite young to be a former vice mayor, he was arrested after another driver claimed that he fondled himself and tried to get her to lift up her shirt while he was driving next to her. The woman also noted that the man was, quote, looking directly at her and smiling as he drove. That's not safe at all. You should be looking at the road.
Seriously.
The woman did not know Blakely previously, but identified him from a photo lineup. He had previously been an alderman and a vice mayor for the town of Mount Carmel, which I guess is a suggestion, not just a name.
Is that okay?
Is that
a stripper name?
Carmel. No, it's the name of the town.
Okay.
At his preliminary hearing, three different women testified against him, saying he was taking his hand, wetting his mouth, and masturbating. That's what witness Deborah Sturgill told the court. At over 90 miles per hour, he had his penis out the window.
That's just dangerous, dude.
I don't know how you even
do
that.
How would you do that and drive at the same time?
I don't know. Either he's got like a 2-foot-long cock or he doesn't wear a seatbelt. That's what I'm guessing.
Your cat did not like that story just then. Because your cat just...
Oh my God, dropped a deuce.
Stinky and a half.
My cat is very pro seatbelt.
Yeah.
If you talk about people not doing that.
Your cat was so mad.
The stink ran right out of him. Detective Terry Christian told the station each of the three women had been in separate cars and did not know one another, but gave the same story, adding that the department received dozens of calls complaining about Blakely's behavior over the past 3 to 4 years, and now you've decided to do something about it.
Wow.
And how long has he been vice mayor?
He's a former vice mayor, so they probably had to wait till he was out of color. He is now facing charges of indecent exposure, reckless endangerment, and attempt to commit aggravated assault. I don't know how that would even work.
On himself, maybe.
Yeah.
Assaulting himself.
Self-assault.
He's not the best.
Well, he might have been. I don't know.
No, that's terrible, because it's like, you know, the forcing the sight of yourself on someone is one thing, but the reckless driving.
90 miles an hour.
Somebody.
90 miles an hour with your penis out the window. As someone who drove about 80 down the 5 all the way to L.A., I can say that never entered my mind. Like I had
kept
both
everything inside the car.
Both hands on the wheel.
Focus. I mean, they all, you know, all the warnings you grow up with are to keep your hands and arms inside, but no one ever says anything about
you drive
penises.
It like 10 and 2 and 6. Yeah.
although if your penis is big enough to stick it out the window, maybe you're proud and you just want to show it off. Like, look, I can get it out the window.
I probably would do
women
that.
Like that, right? A man who can stick his penis out the window while he's driving? No?
Okay. I know there's nothing I like to see more on the 5. It's like there's the windmill and there's the penis.
Well, I would think you would then start rooting for like the power window to malfunction, go up and like just sort of pinch it in there.
It's like a scene from Final Destination, right?
Ooh, yeah, that would not end well.
No.
Then he veered to the left abruptly.
Final Destination porno, or everything happens to penises.
Yeah. By the way, that odor just made it over here. So nice job, cats. Yeah. We really do the show from my house, believe it or not.
Welcome to what this side of the room has been experiencing for that whole last
week. Mm-hmm. this is bad news. I've said for the longest time that musicals are terrible and a scourge upon us, but this is proof. Kim Jong-un once played an American hero in a school production of Grease. That's right. The North Korean tyrant appeared as slick-haired, leather-jacketed member of the good gang, the T-Birds, as a skinny teen.
That's the best thing I've heard all day.
Mm-hmm. Which one was he? Was he Kaneki?
They do not say.
Kaneki from Kaneki is like a Hulmot quad.
Is there a video of this that we can watch?
Well, there are not. I have not read more at the Sun, but let me click on the link and see what it says. I'm going from the New York Post report.
Go Grease Lightning, you're burning up the... No.
Grease Lightning.
You're not paying. Oh, there are pictures in the Sun.
Oh yes.
Of him in a leather jacket.
That is
with
you're
sunglasses.
The Un that I want.
Ah.
Yeah.
Kim Jong Un.
Oh, there's a picture of him shirtless at 13. That's good. Yeah, way to go, son.
Oh, man.
You're the pride of England. Let's see. Now they go into puns and show John Travolta. This is why I stuck with the New York Post article. It's short, sweet, and to the point. He started at the $25,000 a year International School of Bern in Switzerland. So he was in a neutral country doing American musicals, and now he hates us. That's crap. He also loved comics. Everything I've said coming to fruition, and watching U.S. films such as Jurassic Park. So there you go, you comic book loving musical listening to future threateners of nuclear war.
Talking to me, Becca and Christiana?
Mm-hmm.
How could you not?
And Nick Pettigrew.
How could you watch Grease?
I don't read comics.
Grease and not... I mean, if he loves Grease, he has to love America just a little bit.
Deep down inside.
Yeah.
But love and hate aren't opposite emotions.
He probably does love America. He just likes power over a population of people more.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of people that Christiana's not going to like, Noon Mom Drew Barrymore says women can't have it all. It's true. That's what she said. I don't know if it's true or not, but she insists that even though it might look like she has it all, she's had to make career sacrifices now that she's a mom. The 38-year-old star gave birth to her first child. It's a daughter, Olive, last September. You couldn't go with Olivia and be normal? No? Olive? All
like
right,
olive
fine.
Oil.
But she was the voice for all of the other reindeer.
Yeah, I thought
so
about
I
that
think
too.
It came from that.
Paying homage to herself.
She says, it sucks when you've worked really hard for certain things and
Wait,
you have to
a
give
gay man?
No, she just has a bad lisp.
I'm just kidding, everyone. That's just your gay voice.
To give Well, she likes the cock, obviously.
Oh, God. All right.
To
I'm
give
sorry,
them up because
anything.
You know you're going to miss out on your child's upbringing or you realize that your relationship has suffered. That's what she told People magazine at a conference. For her, that has meant giving up directing projects in favor of spending more time with her baby. She says, I was raised in a generation of women can have it all, and I don't think you can. I think some things fall off the table. The good news is what does stay on the table becomes much more in focus and much more important, she said, adding, I feel guilty all the time, but you combat it by being a superhero. When you go out there in the world, you have to remember, I'm just doing the best I can. I'm doing it for them. I'm going to be there for them, too. I'm just going to figure out the balance. So, Drew Barrymore says you can't have it all. What say you, Christiana?
Yeah.
Can you have it all? No? Yes?
I think it depends on what your definition of having it all is. If you can have it all the same way a guy has it all, but since there are only 24 hours in the day, you cannot devote all 24 of those simultaneously to child rearing and to your job outside the home in most cases, which I guess is the root of the supposed mommy wars. I don't really know, but no, you can't do everything and be a paramount success at everything depending on how you define it.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
There.
Excuse me.
I mean, I think you're right. I think, my dad was a very hard worker, but he didn't get to spend a lot of time with the kids. And I think that, you know, it does impact the way your relationship with your kids. But I guess dads aren't expected to have that deep bond with their kids, maybe that mothers are stereotypically expected to.
I think that they can. I think they're allowed to achieve a bond with a different expectation on the face-to-face time or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to explain it. But, I mean, my dad was... he spent plenty of time with us in the way that dads do. My mom spent more because she didn't work outside the home, but you know, I don't think my dad had too many worries about being like less of a parent because of the time division.
Right.
I think, yeah, so women are pressured to have both that bond as well as they want to have it all, have the job while
right.
men don't have that the same expectation, isn't it?
Well, and I don't know, men. I don't know that the pressure necessarily comes from outside. I think there's sort of a, for lack of a better term, a genetic predisposition to wanting to have that bond.
That's, I'll depart from that. I think it's a socialized predisposition. I think that comes more from nurture than nature.
Maybe, but a good portion of the women I know who became moms took that attitude on, that they just felt like that was what they should do because they wanted to, not because of pressure from the outside. It was like, I would rather spend time with my child than do anything else.
Yeah, that's, I think that does happen for a lot of women.
Yeah, not that that's a bad thing, and not that that's necessarily the only thing one way or another. I just found it interesting that someone would come out and say, hey, you can't have it all, you have to make sacrifices. But I think that's true of everybody. I mean, you can't do everything.
Yeah.
There's only so many hours in a day. You can't, you know, be a captain of industry what's happened?
Cat. Sorry, I got a cat claws in my foot and it surprised me. Sorry for
that's okay.
Interruptory outburst. I'm gonna put my shoes back on. That's gonna be my plan for the night.
This little piggy had blood. Anyway, you can't be a captain of industry, a world traveler, a bon vivant, and an X Games star. It just doesn't work unless you're in the mind of Jethro Bodine, and then anything will work. That's a lot of Beverly Hillbillies talk this week.
It is a bit.
It is. It's way too much. So
I'll come back now.
Yeah, it's true. Let's
The Nate Darling Show. Cool. Or Tool.
Whoa. Yeah, it's that time already. It's past that time, but we're moving right along. Up first in Cool or Tool, multitasking while driving. Ted.
Oh my God, fucking Tool, stop it, people. Don't text, don't wank, don't just watch the road and drive, please.
I like the way you went British with that. Christiana.
Tool, yeah.
Becca.
Oh, absolutely, Tool. Ted actually has a bumper sticker on the back of his car. I think it says hang up and drive.
Yeah,
so he feels really strongly about this.
So much so it's on my car.
Yeah, I agree. While I admire your tenacity, sir, put down whatever you have in your hand and focus on the road. Up next in Cooler Tool, musicals. Ted.
You know, musicals are awesome.
Becca.
It depends on the musical.
Christiana.
Wait, just musicals generally?
Yes.
Or cool?
No, Tool.
Wrong. Moving on.
we spent a lot of time at the head of the show. We can't hold up out here. And finally, Cooler Tool, Drew Barrymore. Christiana.
She's cool.
Becca.
Cool. I love her. I buy every magazine she's on the cover of.
Ted.
She's cool.
I'm going to agree with all of you. I would do things to her. Anyway.
That's, I don't think that's what
with,
we said.
With her?
Sure, well, yeah, with her, of course. If you're going to do things to somebody, you need to be with them. I mean, it's just unless you're going to, you know.
Well, unless you're driving next to them with your penis hanging out the window.
Then that's more of a spiritual connection, so to speak. The spirit of my wang. Time now to go to Albuquerque for this fantastic story. Ted, you might want to share your headphones a little bit with Becca. I will turn your microphones down so you can hear this. This is a story from KOAT in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
They're a common sight in this Albuquerque neighborhood.
There's one hanging out around here right now, ma'am. Right here in this parking lot already.
Prostitutes.
I'd say there's quite a few of them, and they get quite a bit of business around here themselves.
And Friday afternoon in broad daylight right here on the corner of Virginia Street and Central Avenue, an undercover cop says 58-year-old Donald Jones hooked up with Kelly Gilbert in a very peculiar way.
Police tell us after Jones picked up Gilbert at that corner, they followed him to a local McDonald's and to the drive-thru where they picked up a snack.
The criminal complaint says the two then drove to Bullhead Park, where the cop approached the car and observed Kelly through the passenger window, quickly pulling up her pants. After being confronted, police say the woman admitted Donald bought her food in exchange for sex.
Oh, well, that's ridiculous. But it doesn't surprise me, not in this neighborhood.
Police say both Gilbert and Jones were arrested.
That's a little disturbing.
Reporting from Northeast Albuquerque, Laura Terrain, KOAT, Action 7 News.
So... apparently haggling in the barter system has come to the world's oldest profession. or as Conan O'Brien said, they've been charged with dating.
Gross. Couldn't she have held out for Carl's Jr. or something a little higher end? I don't. I'm just being facetious. That's really bad.
Mm-hmm. If you're that lonely, you should get one of those coats that hugs you. That's what I think. Sorry, Christiana. It's from the previous show. The Japanese have come up with a coat that hugs you.
Sometimes that's just all we need.
Mm-hmm.
hug from a coat or any article of clothing you
from
can.
From anything.
Here's a list of things you should never say to your longtime spouse or partner for that matter. So let's play along and see if we've done these things in a relationship. We'll start with number 9 and go to the top. Number 9, surely you could tell I've been faking it all along.
I've never said that to anyone.
I have never said that to anyone.
I think that's the hurtful thing you say on your way out the door.
Yeah.
to
don't call me Shirley.
Number 8. I don't know. You know it's always been your problem that.
Ugh, that's a dick thing to say.
That's from a fight, obviously. This one is one of those that would almost seem to be a compliment, but isn't. You're just like your father or mother.
Oh,
it all depends on the tone of voice it's said with. If you spit that at somebody, it's bad.
Yeah. And always bad when you're naked. Always bad.
Yes. Yes. That's a good rule. It is always bad.
Number 6, I guess our academically or behaviorally challenged or drug or alcohol ensnared kid got your genes.
Oh,
again, it's the tone because.
Yeah,
I'm getting ready
for
that.
Well, if it's our honor student, that's a different
sure.
meaning. But
yeah, it's like, I guess the kid got my brains and your propensity for substance abuse. Number 5, I was on the fence about marrying you in the first place, and my worst fears were realized.
Oh wow! Do people say that to each other?
Ouch.
I've never been married. I didn't know that was like a chestnut that would show up on a list.
As someone who has been married, no, I have not actually heard that. That's normally uttered later, afterward. Number 4, I'm just trying to hang in there until our last leaves for college.
Wow!
Ouch!
That's the sad death knell of somebody who's going to be middle-aged and single.
Yay.
Number 3, my ex-boyfriend, ex-husband, ex-girlfriend, ex-wife would have never done what you just did or would have done a better job than you.
Good gravy.
Oh, nobody could. Oh, that's too low.
Yeah. Well, if they're your ex, then what's the deal then?
Yeah. Don't we all just sort of, you have that sort of tacit agreement of like, we mostly pretend that neither one of us has ever really dated anybody else. I mean,
yeah, it's a don't ask, don't tell situation.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. A question a guy never asks is, all your ex-boyfriends, their penis wasn't bigger than mine, right? Because you don't want the honest answer to that.
No men
ever ask that. No.
Yeah, exactly.
There was one guy once who'd always joke about it.
Oh, really?
I always joke about having a small penis, and I'd be like, "What? Are you? No, why are we?
It's
where do you want to
so
go to dinner,
big.
Honey?
Yeah,
it's fine.
What are you supposed to say to that? You just want me to go
it's
on
fine.
About like, no, or say like, yeah, it's fine, it's great. I've never shut up. What the hell?
Yeah, that's what they want you to say.
No, it's me. I need to do more Kegels. Number 2, and this is one that women are guilty of a lot.
Oh,
yeah, I don't think I've ever asked this question.
Don't you think so and so is attractive?
Oh, no, you can't ask that.
That's one that I think a lot of women will ask for various reasons, you know, not necessarily underhanded, but it's one that there's no right answer to it. It's along the lines of, does my butt look fat in these jeans? are we supposed, I mean.
There is a right answer to that. It's no.
But what if. Oh,
you look great.
You look, what do you. But what if...
What if they really aren't flattering
they're
pants?
They're not flattering pants.
Yeah.
Like maybe...
I like the dark ones better.
I like a smaller butt better. No, you can't say that, right?
No. Oh. No, you can't.
Ted!
I'm not talking about me.
I'm going to be up in the middle of the night with that one.
I wasn't talking about you, sweetheart.
Oh, add it to the list.
Yep, add it to the list.
You're not serious. The expression on your face suggests you're serious.
What's number 1?
Slightly horrified. Number 1 is you always or you never.
Oh, therapists tell you not to say that.
So that's, yes.
They always tell you.
It's true. They
never say that.
I tell, by the way, legal advice is you should never answer a question. If you're ever being questioned by someone in a position of authority that they're asking you questions to get you to say that you always or never do something, never do that.
You should,
what about that, though?
I never answer questions like that.
Yeah, that's the one always or never that you should follow.
I always refuse to answer questions like that.
You should always be wary of an always, never, absolute question like
that. So what's the right answer? So if I say, like, Christiana, did you always take unsolicited breaks at work, or, like, unauthorized breaks at work? Like, what do you say?
It'd be different. They'd probably say something like, so you're saying you've never taken a break outside of your break time.
Oh.
Then you say, well, my normal practice is to only do it here, but I'm sure there must have been a time or two when I did something else. Because they're usually it's usually a signal that somebody has some information that's going to show that you didn't do the thing that you're about to swear that you either always or never did. And they go, aha, you're a liar. Gotcha.
The answer is not that I recall. I learned from Ollie North.
Why would they bray at you?
Not that I recall.
That's free legal advice. This show pays off.
Hmm? Oh, yeah. That'll cost you at least $55 in a phone call. At least. And that's not even from a good lawyer.
Much more than that.
Yeah. New study out of Australia, so I don't know how accurate it is. Apparently, penis size does matter.
To who?
Dude-loving ladies. In a study of 105 heterosexual Australian women, flaccid penis size, height, and shoulder-to-hip ratio all affected the women's attractiveness rating of life-size computer-generated male figures.
What?
It's true. The traits all work together in complex ways. For example, penis size mattered more in taller men. That's right. Taller men. So suck it, taller men. The penis
literally?
The penis effect was so strong that the study's authors and all-male team of Australian biologists... That's right, biologists. They wrote in their paper that it may have driven the evolution of bigger penises in humans. That's right, evolution. I believe in it, especially if in prehistory men didn't do as much to hide their penises in clothing. However, the authors didn't offer a way to test this idea beyond these attractiveness ratings. Of course, the study used a limited sample of pretty specific women, and it's unlikely to have any real-world applications. Attraction takes into account a myriad of characteristics and is unlikely to be well mirrored in a study like that with white CGI male figures. Because, I mean, someone will prefer the black ones or the brown ones. To conduct the study, the biologists created 343 male figures with all possible combinations of height, shoulder-to-hip ratio, and penis size within a natural range. The author must note that the figures are kind of creepy looking, and they are. Well, we'll put this on the Facebook page so you can take a look at it. The biologist then asked the women who volunteered for their study to view a random sampling of 53 of the figures and to rate of attractiveness of the figures. So basically, it matters to women who are looking at white computer-generated figurines.
It sounds like super creepy.
Yeah, they are.
Height matters. I mean, that's just so... kind of misleading headline because they wanted to put penis in it.
Mm-hmm. They put penis in the article a lot of times, and I read it because I wanted to say penis a bunch of times.
I like how they're like, this study is unlikely to have any real-world applications, but we really just wanted to make 105 women look at penises and then talk to them about it.
Computer-generated penises?
Right.
I mean, they could have done the same thing with wallets. Computer-generated. We surveyed 105 heterosexual women, and the overwhelming majority of them enjoy a man with a thick wallet full of cash. Maybe not. Maybe
bitches like money.
Yep. What?
And penises.
Or goes. Can't argue with that. I mean, I could, but what would be the point? Really. So let's move on now. We know what this music means. It's time for Florida Corner.
Yay, Florida.
Speaking of women, I assume heterosexual in this case. I don't know why, but I do. Florida mayoral candidate. That's right, a woman running for mayor in Florida. So you go, girl. Says she's the victim of voodoo. A new and unique instance of political dirty tricks. According to a report from the Miami Herald, a mayoral candidate in North Miami is claiming that someone is using voodoo against her in order to get her out of the mayoral race. The woman says chicken feathers, scraps of food, and candles were left on her office doorstep in recent months. I don't know if it actually happened. Maybe hobos are just eating out there. discarding their lunch. Who knows? But she's claiming voodoo.
Like a romantic dinner on her doorstep with chicken?
Maybe.
The candles? Okay.
Entirely. But you go ahead and decide if you'd like to vote for the lady who thinks voodoo is being used against her to get her out.
Is that part of the country, though? It's possible.
It's possible someone might be trying to. It doesn't mean she believes in voodoo.
Well, she made it a point to go ahead and get that into the paper. Never report, so you do the math on that. And the Florida man story. Shaving cream explosion injures Largo man. Fire engines and an ambulance rush to a quiet residential street after a man called 911 to report an explosion. Emergency responders found the man waiting outside a home. He had a red gash under one eye and white liquid on his shirt. The liquid, he told them, was shaving cream.
Sure it was.
The unidentified man, about 50 years old, just wanted a hot shave on Wednesday morning, said Largo Fire Chief Dave Mixon. So he heated the can of shaving cream on the kitchen stove.
Oh, no.
Man, it says right on there not to do that.
Florida man.
The thing is, if you do that, you can't actually read and understand the sentiment, I suppose, is the problem.
There was no damage to his house, so that's good. The fire chief says it isn't advisable to heat metal cans.
Thanks, Dr. Science.
Yeah. And if you'd like to have a hot shave without visiting the emergency room, try going to a barber or purchase a heated shaving cream dispenser, which you can get for $65 at Walmart. I don't know why they plug Walmart on here.
Brought to you by Walmart.
Again, Florida journalist. I say if you want a hot shaving machine, you go to Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com and acquire it that way.
Here, here.
Then you don't have to go to Walmart. They'll deliver it right to your effing door.
Men, is the heated shaving cream, is that a really nice thing?
It actually is.
It sounds nice, actually.
It's never occurred to me. I mean,
I use warm water to shave your face.
Yeah, what it does, it opens up the pores, and so it opens up the pores. You get a closer shave. It does feel good when you do it, but for the love of God, I done decided to put the shaving cream on the stove and heat it up that away. I'm picturing like a pot of boiling water. Did he just throw it in the frying pan? How did this whole thing work?
Pipe it on a skillet.
Not well.
Or even better, if he had like a gas stove and had an open flame. Either way, bad idea. But thank you, Florida man, for helping us sort all that out. Finally, this story from South America, which made me go, what is wrong with people from South America? Normally, I don't have an opinion about people from South America, but this one, I just could not go, listen, South American man, what are you doing? The headline, ferrets sold as toy poodles. Argentina pet dealers reportedly selling weasels on steroids. That's right, weasels on steroids.
That's not fun for anyone.
Yeah, apparently Argentinian bizarre salesmen are passing off ferrets on steroids as toy poodles. And here's the sad part. People believe them. A local news report out of Buenos Aires caught the attention of the Daily Mail and other sites after a man took the toy poodles he bought on the La Salada market to a veterinarian, only to find out it was actually a giant weasel. Yes, Ted?
Oh, nothing. I'm just looking at the picture. It's the best thing I've ever seen.
Selling what Argentinians call a Brazilian rat. That sounds like it's jingoistic to me. The ferret given steroids at birth to increase its size and then groomed isn't a rare occurrence. But this particular story apparently confirmed the urban legend that these freaky ferrets are sold at the popular market.
Do they act like pets, or do they try to eat you in the night or something? Is it bad to have a... We've been trying to legalize ferrets in California forever.
Yeah. Well, I actually knew somebody in college in Maine who had a ferret.
Was it on steroids?
It was not, but if you think my cat's poo smells, try being in any space that has a ferret. Oh my, it's awful. Anyway, the victim paid apparently $150 per poodle. Another woman told the Buenos Aires station she was tricked into buying what she thought was a chihuahua.
Why is it so skinny?
But that was also a ferret.
How do you confuse a ferret?
She finally knew. She finally thought something was up when she bought a guppy in a fish tank.
And it was a ferret.
And it was a ferret.
However, ferrets aren't the only animals that have allegedly been used to dupe poodle seekers. The Brisbane Times reports that a Japanese actress once purchased a lamb believing it was a standard poodle. A lamb.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, as soon as it went, wouldn't you just know?
I don't know. Well, whatever. So the Huffington Post was nice enough to have this checklist for people. Ferrets, here's how you can tell. Ferrets typically have brown, white, or mixed fur and are around 51 centimeters in length and have a 13-centimeter tail. They weigh around 3 pounds and have a lifespan of 7 to 10 years. When happy, ferrets may perform a routine known as the Weasel War Dance, which is characterized by a series of hops in frenzied attempts to bump into things.
Kitten does that all the time.
I know, it's crazy. Maybe you have a weasel.
I don't know
what. That explains it.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, that South America. Stop
Cat's
it.
Cat's trying to hit me in the face with a
oh, yeah.
Boom here.
Hef has decided to mark the mic stand as his own. He's
not,
taking
not like that, you guys. He's not peeing on it.
No. He's just
stop it.
With his
he's
face.
He's hitting me in the face. With
with his,
I'm
he's
smack you it, back.
It's a boom. You can push it back the other way. It's
I
okay.
Know, I don't want to hurt him.
He'll be fine. He's dumb.
He's trying to smack him though.
There
I'm
you go.
Talking.
He might mistake it for play. So anyway, it's time for the end of the show. Thankfully, we've made it all the way to the end, and we're not that far over considering how long we went to begin with. So you know what that means? It's time for.
Small town news.
Everybody loves that small town.
Small there, I let you. Yeah. Well, I didn't have it turned up, so we'll go ahead and go.
Song.
We'll go ahead and go with that. And small town news. Going to Speak Out again from the Press Republican. It's my go-to. If you don't like it, suck it. It's a free show.
If you don't like it, speak out.
Yeah, speak out to us, or you can just turn it off. We're like an hour and 7 minutes into the show. You've got your entertainment. Quit your complaining.
Oh, hang in there, everybody.
Yeah, go tell somebody on Facebook that we suck. Anyway. So first in Speak Out, drugs. Drugs, not guns, are killing millions of North Americans. Profits from the distribution of drugs are not limited to only the cartels or pushers, but to many of our politicians and law enforcement people.
Okay.
It's true.
They should make them illegal. Oh, wait.
Mm-hmm. Cuts. Good. Tenured teachers are being cut. No money for teachers to get supplies for students, such as paper and pencils. Yet a superintendent asks for a raise.
That's a good point.
Dick.
Well, he just asked for it. Did he get it? I mean, it's different. You can ask for whatever you want.
Fair point.
I want a pony.
This one just titled Princess. What happened to the Clinton County Dairy Princess program?
Maybe you can call someone.
I don't know what that is, but I'm now curious.
We should probably do an expose. I'm sure there's something.
Cells. I attended a funeral this week and heard that at least 4 different cell phones rings. Have some common courtesy and turn them off for that hour or turn them to vibrate.
That's a good idea.
At the funeral, yeah.
Or movies or restaurants.
Oh, my God. During 42, this dick took a cell phone call.
Oh, my God.
Like the phone, yeah, I'm in the movie. No. Yeah.
Wow.
And it was like a transcript.
I couldn't quite tell where he was, but I was really close to standing up and going, hang up on the fucking call, dick.
I feel like if I had called someone, they said, I'm in a movie, I'd say, okay, I'll call you back, and I would hang up before, unless there was a real, I don't know.
They run a full screen thing on a giant screen saying, turn off your phone.
I know.
Turn off your phone, dick.
It's unspeakable.
And it's one thing to be like, oops, it's ringing. I totally thought it was on silent and it isn't. But answering is really inexcusable.
Yeah, I'm at the movie.
I'm
in the movie. Yeah. I'm 42. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's about baseball.
To the customer who called my store ranting at me, you owe me an apology. You have the right to be upset, but I didn't cause your problem. I just answered the phone.
You represent. All right. Anyway, that's probably true. I don't know. They're so vague. It's like vague booking, but you're just calling up someone to vague book.
The current city government cut the mayor's cup to reduce police overtime in a budget crunch. Since they've done that, the police budget has gone up almost half again. Can we have the mayor's cup back? They want their sailboat race back. Good God.
A scooter is a sailboat.
The SAFE law was swept into law inappropriately using emergency procedures, which left no time for due consideration of implications and no opportunity for citizen input. This was not representative government.
Hear, hear.
Tough darts.
What?
I came across a beautiful fox in the woods of Lewis, terrified, excruciating pain in his eyes as he struggled to free himself from the jaws of his trap.
Boo!
I'll never forget how he lay still, looking hopefully at me as I tried in vain to free him. You're lucky he didn't bite you, dude. Fights. Just because a woman takes self-defense doesn't mean she'll win in a fight. Even the best boxers lose to someone eventually.
Yeah, women.
What is the point of
Stop playing self-defense.
I don't know.
It's hard to assault you. I don't know. It's really dumb.
Just because you took self-defense classes, I can still punch you out, ladies.
My upper body strength trumps yours.
This one's titled Smell. Smokers, you smell bad. If you don't care, you should. Just because no one has ever told you, you smell, doesn't mean you don't. So, yeah.
Truth.
Ted, did you write that one?
I called in and said that. Every week I call and say that.
So you know you smell. Smokers.
So, I was just going to end on that one.
Okay.
You smell. Hey, smokers, you smell. You stink. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you smell.
Smoking's bad.
I'm including you pot smokers. You smell, too. You smell like weed, but you smell. Yeah,
hey, cats, just because you poop in your little dome doesn't mean it doesn't smell.
Oh, my gosh.
No one may have
really
told
smell.
You, but it does.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
I'm so sorry. I'll be taking
it. We all have had or have cats here. We know how it goes.
Yeah. Yep. I'll shame them later.
Yeah.
It'll work out
They
well.
Will take it to heart. I'm
Oh,
confident.
Yeah. It's what they do. So, anyway, that'll do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Thanks for hanging with us through the serious time at the beginning. We hope we brought you some laughs through the back end of the show.
Back end.
Because that's what you're we like to do. Yeah.
Come full circle.
It's true. Troublemaker. Troublemaker. What? 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 Yeah. Hey, everybody. Have a great weekend. Talk to you next week. I'll tell you about working at a Fox station. It'll be awesome.
Boo.
Okay.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Summer, yeah. Typical middle name is Prada. Picture like a glove, girl. I'm sick of the drama. You're a